ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಸೊ ವೇರ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ಡ್ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ That is in Bhagavad Gita, the chapter 2, verse 55 and 56. Arjuna asked a question to Krishna. Arjuna says to Krishna, Sthita Pratnya Sega Bhasha Samadhistasya Keshava Sthita Dhi Kim Prabhasheda Kim Asida Vrajeda Kim. That was Krishna, Arjuna's question to Krishna. It is one of the important questions in the Bhagavad Gita because Krishna is in the second chapter. Krishna is saying to Arjuna that the purpose of self-realization or the goal of self-realization is ultimately to get to this stage, sthitadhi. Sthitadhi means not getting disturbed over anything. That person who is fixed up in the truth. Who is fixed up in the absolute truth. So that's where he says here, Sthita Pratnya Sega Bhasha, that's how this question came up from Arjuna. So in answer to that, Krishna answered that in two different ways. First thing Krishna says, that the realized souls also belong to different categories. They come from different categories. For example, Krishna says, Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan Almanyeva Almanatushna Sthita Pratnya Stadochyade. First thing is Prajahadi Yada Kaman.
Can we just do a minor check? Because the speaker's not working properly. Switched on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it? So I can just take that. It's on, isn't it?
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Prajahadi Yada Kaman, Sarvan Partha Manogadan. Almanyeva Almanatushta Siddhadhir Mayrichyade. That was Krishna's first answer.
It's okay. Working, so yeah. Some space okay. If you want. Next door.
Okay. Prajahadi Yada Kaman. First thing Krishna says that the kamam or the desires inside must come to an end. That is the first step in the direction towards self-realization. Prajahadi Yada Kaman, Sarvan Partha Manogadan. Desires have come from the mind. So, in order to come to that stage of controlling the mind, Krishna is going to explain a number of yoga systems from now on in different verses and different stages in that yoga process. And eventually, Krishna will say to Arjuna, that evam brahmistiti partha, Arjuna, one who has come to that state of consciousness, he has nothing to be fearful of in this world. Even much before death, he will reach that stage, and for death for him is mrityu atyanda vismriti. It is just a forgetfulness of this body and accepting to his self-realized state. So Krishna has been very straightforward with Arjuna in this second chapter. He says to him that prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almanyeva almanatushta sthita pratnya stadochyade. One who is situated in the soul, in the spiritual platform, almanyeva almanatushta sthita pratnya, he is known as sthita pratnya tadochyade, Krishna says. So, we were discussing this yesterday, that in two different ways this can happen in our life. in two different possibilities. One is that either experiencing a lot of distress in this world, we come to understand that there is not, it is better to inquire after the truth. The search for the truth will begin at that point, that when we become totally indifferent to this world. In other words, we have no further interest in this life to be fulfilled here. So that is the stage that happens to people, and if when one is in that situation, if he gets an opportunity to associate or comes to satsangam, then there is a possibility that he will become detached to this world, and sarvan partha manogadan, that kamam, desires will go away from inside, one after the other. It is a forced situation on someone due to prarabdha karmam or due to Krishna's mercy, however that happens. It may happen in such a way that we may not have the desire to enjoy this life, or to attention will go away from this body. But the new place, the attention has not been fixed yet. But attention from the body goes away. So that is one stage. Second stage, as we mentioned before, the sadhana process. We were discussing that yesterday. The sadhana process. So sadhana process, Krishna says there is the mind inside and the world outside. The mind, the origin is the soul. The world is also, the origin is from the soul. So both the mind and the material world has the origin from the soul. So when one comes to realize that, anything that happens in the material world will not have any impact on his mind. He is able to stay away from the mind, and in that way, he separates himself from the desires. He separates himself from the desires. So, what we were saying yesterday was that the this experience we have in the deep sleep state, I'll just go through that again. Experience in the deep sleep state, what we have is something, an experience which indicates to us that happiness is not from the through the mind and the senses. Through the mind and the senses, the soul, when it leaves the the Jagrat state or the wakened state and the dream state, and when it goes to deep sleep state, from Jagrat to dream to deep sleep state, the mind has completely stopped its function. The mind is not functioning, the senses are not functioning, but still when we wake up from the deep sleep, we report back saying that we have experienced happiness in the deep sleep state. Krishna is telling us that in that deep sleep, what you have experienced, that happiness is coming from the soul. So when we go into deep sleep with vasanas, that is that is what normally situation with most of us is. The situation is like that. We go into the deep sleep state with the vasanas within us. And with vasanas, when we go into deep sleep, when we come back from the deep sleep, the vasanas comes back to us again. That is why when we come back from the deep sleep state to awakened state, we experience again the miseries of the material world. But the vasanas have gone away from a person, or vasana shunyam, vasana chayam they call it. If that has happened to someone, when he goes into the deep sleep state, he experiences what is known as samadhi. That is freedom from the material miseries and freedom from material existence. Attachment to the body has gone away. So it is at that time he experienced that completeness or perfection of the Purnavastu. Purnavastu means that thing which is inside, referring to the soul, which is complete in itself. In other words, that complete thing, soul, doesn't have to look for happiness outside anywhere. It comes from within. It has its own by nature. Very nature it is anandam, blissful nature of the soul. It is expressed, discussed here. That satta chitta anandam, that anandam state for the soul does not have to come from outside. By very nature itself is its anandam, blissful nature. So, here what we have to look at is this, that the when it moves away from the state of perfection, that will not happen, that perfection stage will not happen artificially. By meditation, only through realization it will happen. So when the only through the meditation of the process, if you follow, or through the process of self-realization through knowledge, this can happen. That's what Krishna is saying here. Nahi agrada kridena. In the Upanishads, that statement comes like this: Pariksha logan karmajidan abrahmano nirvedamayal നിർവേദമായാൽ അസത്കൃതകൃതേന തദ്വിജ്ഞാനാർത്ഥം സഗുരും ഏവ അഭികേച്ചേൽ സമിൽപാണി ശ്രോത്രിയം ഭ്രമനിഷ്ഠം. സെയ്സ് ഹിയർ ഓൾ പരീക്ഷലോകാൻ കർമ്മചിതാൻ. ബൈ കർമ്മം എലോൺ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് പോസിബിൾ ടു ബിക്കം ഹാപ്പി. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് പോസിബിൾ. പരീക്ഷലോകാൻ ദാറ്റ് ഹാസ് ഓൾറെഡി ബീൻ എക്സ്പെരിമെൻറ്റഡ് ബൈ ദ സേജസ്. പരീക്ഷലോകാൻ കർമ്മചിതാൻ, ദൻ വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻ അകർമ്മചിതാൻ ബ്രാഹ്മണോ നിർവേദമായാൽ അസംസ്കൃത. That nirvedamayal, that vairagyam has come to that person, and the result of that attachments for things which are temporary, and in it is in that situation that he should seek the guidance of a teacher. When this has come to this is the point, this is the turning point in life, when one understands that after working very very hard in this world that one cannot become happy. This realization must come. പരീക്ഷ ലോകാൻ കർമ്മചിതാൻ, ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഹാസ് ടു റിയലൈസ് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് വിൽ നോട്ട് ബി എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ബൈ വർക്ക് എലോൺ. സോ ഹിയർ ഇ സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് കനോട്ട് ബി ദിസ് പെർഫെക്ഷൻ കനോട്ട് ബി അച്ചീവ്ഡ് ബൈ കർമ്മം. കർമ്മം വിൽ നോട്ട് ബ്രിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ്. സോ വെൻ വൺ കം ടു സത്സംഗം ഓർ വെൻ ആൻ അസോസിയേറ്റ്സ് വിത്ത് എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ ഹാസ് റിയലൈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത്, ദെൻ ദർ ഈസ് എ പോസിബിലിറ്റി ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ ഹിസ് അറ്റൻഷൻ വിൽ ടേൺ ടുവേർഡ്സ് ദ സോൾ. It is such an important thing to shift this attention from body to the soul. So does that mean that that he will see that purna vastu, that perfectional thing inside, very much inside? So does it mean that once he has turned his attention that he will not come back from that again? No, he will come back again. Jnani also, even after realizing the self, His mind can move. But the only difference there is that because the knowledge inside is so powerful that even when he has to deal in this world, the karma vasana and also the influences from this world will not disturb him, because the soul inside is shining very powerfully, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So it's just like they give the comparison, like when the sun is shining, the moon has no effect. So similarly, the knowledge of the soul is shining inside, and therefore the effect of the karma vasana and the prarabdha karma is minimized. It will not be experienced by the experiencer or the individual. The jnani will not experience that at that point. So so whatever emotions happens to the jnani, it will not disturb him at that point, because all the time he is conscious that behind this mind there is something which is totally perfect, who is standing there totally perfect with full knowledge and full of bliss, and that is the soul. So you can see why Krishna is saying here prajahari yada kaman. So in order to allow that soul to manifest fully inside, prajahari yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan, the mind should come to a stop. The mind should not get involved. If mind becomes a issue, then the soul cannot be realized. The spiritual realization cannot happen. That he also knows that no matter how much the mind gets disturbed or the mind moves, that he also knows that it is only a spark of that spark of that soul which is manifesting through the mind. Therefore, mind will not disturb him. So this situation, that the control of the mind, which Krishna is saying here, that's what every process in the spiritual life is all about. Yoga process, bhakti process, karma process, jnanam process. Eventually, it has to come to this stage of control of the mind. And that is the most difficult thing. And one who has reached that stage, Krishna says, he is called in the Bhagavad Gita, somewhere it's mentioned as Sthita Prajna, another place is Jivan Mukta. In different terminologies, he is referred to. So, such a person, how will he deal with this world? This is the next question. So, when he acts in this world, how he will act like that? So, the only answer to that is, he will be fully detached from the world. He will be fully detached from the world. Attachment to the worldly activities brings ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. So that is why when it comes to spiritual life, two things, ragadvesham and karta and bhokta, these things has to go, Krishna says. And while acting in this world, even while acting in this world, he will be fully conscious of that nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means completely in the detached way he is able to act in this world. Salsangatve nisangatvam. From satsangam comes nisangatvam. Nisangam nisangatve nirmohatvam. From nisangatvam or detachment from this world comes nirmohatvam, freedom from delusion. And nirmohatve nischaladatvam. Only when the delusion goes away, the mind gets fixed upon the soul. And nischaladatve jivan mukti. And when one is fixed on the soul, then he is already in the liberated state. So example is given that the difference between a jnani and a ajnani, or a realized soul and a not a realized soul, is this. A realized soul deal with this world in one way, and not a realized soul, or who is ignorant, he deals with the world in a different way. Realized soul, and he acts, example is like this. When you cut the fruit, certain fruits, it has got this sticky thing inside, isn't it? Like jackfruit. When you cut it, there is a sticky gum-like thing inside. So what did they do? They first cover, put some oil on their hands before they cut it, so it doesn't stick. So similarly, the realized soul, he knows that dealing with this world is a problem that causes, disturbs his mind. So therefore, through the power of knowledge, he keeps himself away from that. That is the importance of jnanam. The spiritual knowledge, what we acquire from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, should protect us in while dealing with this world. That is the important message there. So, once he does that, vyavaharam or transactions in this world will not disturb him. That and this liberated soul can be of different categories. Liberated souls can be different categories. There are those we discussed before, avadhudas, like Sukadev Goswami and others, who after self-realization, they move away from transaction. They don't want to do anything in this world. They are called avadhuda. The Tatraya Maharshi, for example, Sukadev Goswami, Jatabharata, they are all avadhudas. They have no interest in this world anymore. They have completely given up the all connection with this world. They are completely transcendental. In other words, many of them, they do not think it is worthwhile to continue these transactions in this world. So, on the other hand, there are people who are jnanis, realized souls, but they will deal with this world like ordinary people. They can deal with this world like ordinary people. That will depend on the individual, that you cannot say who will act in which way. Many, many great personalities, they have completely stopped transactions in this world and withdrew from this world totally and moved away. There are many others who came to this world, acted with like ordinary people, but at the same time completely detached from this world. So in Yoga Vasishtam, in Sri Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra has been instructed by Vasishtha Maharshi about this. That is one of the most interesting discussions about the Sthita Prajna state. Then Ramachandra is asking questions and Vasishtha Maharshi is answering the question. And Ramachandra completely understood the way, because Ramachandra in his early days, he went on a pilgrimage with brother Lakshmana and Vishwamitra and comes back. And then he says to him that this world is not worthwhile living. Ramchandra's words to Vasishtha Maharshi, that he saw disturbances all over the world, and seeing that, that Vasishtha Maharshi instructs Ramachandra through Yoga Vasishtam, where it says here, after instructing Ramachandra, Vasishtha Maharshi says to him, Rama, you are in that state now, the state what Sukadeva Goswami is now enjoying, the state of consciousness where Lord Shiva is always situated, the state of consciousness where the four Kumaras are situated, where Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and they are also experiencing. It is the same state of consciousness you are now in. That is the instruction from Vasishtha to Ramachandra. After the instructions were given, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra this. Because Ramachandra's incarnation in that, it is what happened was that this question came up, that the Sukadeva Goswami gave up everything and walked out, isn't it? if you remember, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with that. Sudeva Goswami walked away from there. Give up all attachment to this world and walked away from there. Yam pravrajandam anubedam abeda krityam dvaipayano virahagadaram ajuhava putredi dhanmaidayattaravobhinedu tam sarvabhodahridayam munim anatosmi. So, yam pravrajandam. Pravrajandam means parivrajagam. Parivrajagam means one who has completely finished up this world. He walked away from here. That is how Sudeva Goswami left from here. Anubedam abeda krityam. He did not give enough time for Vedavyasa Maharshi to perform even the preliminary samskaras for Sudeva Goswami. Even the preliminary samskaras were not performed for Sudeva Goswami. Even before that, he was realized. So he walked away from here. Sudeva Goswami walked away from this world. Dvaibayino viraha kadarama juhava. Vedavyasa Maharshi, on the other hand, he was feeling the separation from my son. He was thinking this way. And Putredi kept himself calling him. Putra, Putra, come back, he says there. Putredi then maidayattarevo abhinedu tam sarvabhodahridayam. It is then that Sudeva Goswami wanted to show to Vedavyas who I am. That I am that person who is present in all the living entities as the soul. That Brahman realization was perfect in Sudeva Goswami, that Vedavyasa Maharshi gave it up. He did not want to pursue it anymore. Because a personality who has realized that I am present in everything, what name can you give him and what can you call him? So this realization happened to Sudeva Goswami. So personalities like Sudeva Goswami, Dattatreya Maharshi, Jadabharata and many others in the Bhagavatam, you will see, they left everything and they walked away from here. They did not want to continue anymore because they didn't feel it worthwhile trying to do anything here. They did not see any. It is due to their own way they have developed their spiritual life. That you cannot ask why it is like that, why somebody is different. So, among the realized soul, you will see, after realization, how they deal with this world is important. How they deal with this world is important. So, Ramachandra was a king, isn't it? So if a king does like that, what will happen to this world? So Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, an important instruction given to him there, that Vahi Kritrama Sambrambham Andar Sambrambha Varjidaha Kartaha Midi Agartaha Andaha Loke Vihara Raghava. This is in the Ramayana. Valmiki's Ramayana, this statement is mentioned by in Yoga Vasishtham, this is a statement from Vasishtha, instructions to Ramachandra. Very important instruction to Ramachandra. Ramachandra has just received spiritual teachings from Vasishtha Maharshi, and before Ramachandra wanted to take sannyas and go away. It was at that time that those who have realized the truth, if you look back into the history, you will see this. Those who have realized the truth, they had no interest after that. Whenever they spend the time in this world, it's only for the benefit of others. You can see in the case of Lord Buddha, the same thing. And Ramachandra did exactly the same thing. So Ramachandra also wanted to leave home. But then it is Vasishtha Maharshi insisted that Ramachandra, just because the self-realization has happened, this stage of consciousness has come to you, does not mean that you have to give up your activities in this world. But how to act in this world, that instruction Vasishtha Maharshi gave to Ramachandra. He says here, Bahi Kritrama Sambrambha Andar Sambrambha Varjidaha. That externally you have to do everything, what you have to do. Externally you have to do everything. But internally nothing should touch you. It should not touch your state of realization. It should not come to that state of realization. Inside you have to think, I'm not doing anything. Externally you have to know, you have to do everything what you have to do as a king. Because otherwise, in other words, Krishna, the reason for that is, that as a king, he has to order, isn't it? He has to give instructions to the army, instructions to the administration, different people involved. If he says that, oh, I am self-realized, now I cannot do anything, I don't have to do anything, everybody will take advantage of that. Natural it is, isn't it? Devotee's case also, it's the same thing. Jnani's case also, it's not different. If you say that I am a sadhu, people will ask you, what do you need the money for? What do you need the food for? You don't have to eat anything. You are a sadhu, isn't it? This kind of reactions will come from this world. So Vasishtha Maharshi's instructions to him is, that it's not necessary a realized soul has to be a sadhu always. A realized soul need not be a sadhu, but a sadhu can be a realized soul. That is there. A realized soul need not be a sadhu. If you look at Krishna, who is totally realized soul, he was not a sadhu, was he? Never was he a sadhu. Sadhu means one who leads a very pious life without giving any trouble to anyone, very peacefully existing. But Krishna's activities are such that he acted as a householder with an extraordinary householder life in this world. Krishna had an extraordinary life of a king in Dwaraka, an extraordinary childhood, an extraordinary dealing with the enemies. All these things Krishna was able to execute as a Supreme Lord. He did all that, but all in the perfectly in the realized state, in the totally realized state. So that's why it's saying here that while you are being an emperor in Ayodhya, as a jnani, you have to keep that consciousness under vahi kritrama samrambaha. And outside, you have to act everything in an artificial level. You have to execute your duties. Andar samrambha varjidaha. Inside, no, nothing. It should not allow to touch your consciousness. It should not affect your state of realization. State of realization. Kartaha mihi akartaha andaha. That inside, I am not the doer. But I am doing everything outside. Inside I have to think, I am not the doer. Loke vihara raghava. If in that consciousness, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, you can play with this world, whichever way you like it. So, you can see, Vasishtha Maharshi is also a realized soul. So after instructing Ramachandra, this was the instruction. The jnani, realized soul, have two different categories. One, who are what is known as avadhudas, like Sudeva Goswami, Dattatreya Maharshi, Jadabharata. Their histories you know in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are three personalities, different, appearing in different times. All of them were avadhuda. They had no interest. After realization, in the state of realization, they wanted to stay further, forever. So they carried away their duties in that way. That's why you see Jadabharata has no interest at all. When Rahugana tried to insult him, he was not affected by that. Why? Because of state of realization inside. So even being in that state, he still decided to instruct Rahugana for his benefit, because he felt some compassion for Rahugana for two reasons. One, Rahugana was a king and he had genuine spiritual interest. He was looking for spiritual life. So he decided, he was looking for Kavila Maharshi's ashram and he was traveling to see Kavila Maharshi. A genuine spiritual person, you can see if he is genuinely spiritual or not, because nothing in this world will stop him from realizing the truth. This is, whether he is a jnani or a devotee, it applies to him. Nothing in this world will stop him in the path of self-realization. So what happened, our Rahugana was, he was searching after the truth. That pleased Jadabharata. That was one reason. Secondly, he has taken plenty of time and effort, although a king, to study Shastram. Who? Rahugana. Rahugana was a king, wasn't he? So Rahugana has taken enough time and energy to study Shastram. And he has acquired a lot of knowledge from the Shastram. But the only problem Rahugana had was that he had this strong bodily concept of life. That was the only drawback or only obstacle in Rahugana's realizing the truth. And that is why Jadabharata decided to instruct him. He knew that if I instruct this person, there will be some benefit. At least that person will get to understand the truth. So therefore, Jadabharata instructs Rahugana. Normally, Jadabharata won't talk to anybody. He wanted to move away from this world. He didn't talk to his brothers and cousins, none of them. They were giving him a lot of trouble, but he kept quiet all the time. He had no interest in having any conversation with them. Even with Bhadragali, who saved him from death, even at that time he thought, why should I speak to Bhadragali? She is a fully self-realized soul. There is nothing to talk. In other words, whether realized or not realized, the self-realized soul in their platform, they have no interest in continuing with the transactions of this world. So that is Jadabharata. Dattatreya Maharshi's life, if you take, you will see, when he saw King Yadu, he started instructing him. And Yadu asked a question. From the questions he understood that Yadu is a genuine student. Yadu is a genuine student. So therefore, in order to give that realized state to Yadu, Yaduscha Dharmashilasya Nidaram Munisattama, that among the great personalities, Yadu is listed. Isn't it? Krishna is called as Yadava because of that. So Yadu gave these instructions to Yadu was instructed by the Dattatreya Maharshi, knowing very well that Yadu's state of consciousness was, although a king, was looking for self-realization. Therefore, the Dattatreya Maharshi instructed him. Sudeva Goswami instructed Parikshit. He didn't instruct anyone else. Why? Parikshit was ready for receiving the knowledge. Because when he came to know that in 7 days' time he is going to lose his body, he is going to die, Parikshit decided to throw away everything, including the kingdom, family, everything, threw away, and walked into the river bank, to the Ganga River, and sat there until he wanted to know the truth. He wanted to realize the truth. So, depending on the person who is actually serious about spiritual life and who is ready to that state to receive that instruction, accordingly the self-realized souls will react with them. Otherwise not. So therefore, that is one group of people, personalities. The other group, like you can see Krishna, Janaka, King Janaka in Mithila, they were all personalities who always in the self-realized state, but they had to conduct their transactions in this world. Lord Ramachandra also. So how do you know that they were self-realized? That you can see from their dealings. Janaka Maharaj's case, you can see there that we mentioned this story before also. Yajnavalkya Maharshi, like Janaka Maharaj, another self-realized soul. But they all never gave up the transactions of this world. Janaka, Yajnavalkya, Lord Ramachandra, Supreme Personality of Lordhead Krishna, they all acted in this world in the self-realized state. They had to conduct many things in this world. So they acted in that way. Yajnavalkya Maharshi once came to Janaka Maharaj's palace. Mentioned this story before. It's in the Upanishads, this story comes from. That the Yajnavalkya comes to Janaka Maharaj, and Janaka Maharaj, that particular day in the assembly, addressed all the brahmanas who were present there and told them that I'm going to ask some questions, and whoever answers these questions, they will be given 1,000 cows. Completely there, in those days, cows were considered to be the wealth. Cows are considered to be the wealth. The cows with their horns completely covered in gold will be given in presents to the person who is going to willing to answer the questions. So many personalities were present there. Yajnavalkya told one of his disciples who had come with him to take all the cows and take them to the ashram, even before answering the questions. You have to understand how self-realized souls interact with each other. You will see that when we discuss this. The Yajnavalkya Maharshi's Janaka Maharaj's question was, I am going to ask certain questions about self-realization. And what is the answer to these questions? Who can answer? So many who were present there, there were scholars there, but they were not self-realized. They could not answer that question. Yajnavalkya Maharshi, on the other hand, said that first I am going to take these cows away from here. He says to his disciple, take all the cows away, take them to the ashram. As soon as Yajnavalkya Maharshi said this, immediately all the brahmanas who were present there, they got up. And they says to Yajnavalkya, how do you know that you are going to take, what right have you got to take these cows from here? He hasn't even asked the question. And you have not even answered the question. And what is yours? How come you are so sure about your position? Are you a Brahmanishtha? Are you so situated and realize the truth? What Yajnavalkya Maharshi's answer to that question was, he says to the Brahmanas who are present there, the important thing is that I need the cows now. He says, I need the cows now. I'm taking the cows first. Now, if you think that whatever questions Janaka Maharaj is going to ask now, and if I give the answers to those questions, and after I have answered the questions, if he gives the cows to me, what will happen? That will be considered as a dakshina, isn't it? Dakshina, like the brahmanas, they do some karma for you. Purohits, purohita brahmanas, who have taken the priesthood, they come and do some karma for you. And after the karma is done, what do? The householder gives some dakshina to him, isn't it? We know that. We are not so used to it, this dakshina. So, dakshina is given. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to the brahmanas, one who is self-realized, he cannot accept dakshinas. He is not after dakshina. So then, how do you know that you are in the self-realized state? That was the question, he says. He says to him, right now I am not self-realized, he says. But I need the cows. I am a pashukama now. I need the cows now, he says. In other words, his point was, by dealing with this world, it should not affect your state of self-realization. These are personalities who have shown the very highest state of realization. In other words, even while realized state, they can act in such a way because they have to deal with this world, isn't it? Dealing with the world is very difficult. Vyavaharam is very difficult. It is always a problem for self-realized souls to deal with this world. It's always a problem. If you look, in the bhakti process started, when the bhakti movement became very strong in the 14th, 15th century, many, many great devotees appeared in Maharashtra. There was a series of devotees, great personalities. They were always very advanced and very highly realized devotees. Tukaram, Yaneshwar, Ekanath, Namadev. It's an endless list of personalities. And they have actually moved the whole crowd in the bhakti process. All of them. But all of them had great difficulty in dealing with this world. Tukaram, for example, Tukaram did business. And whenever customers came, he gave everything, whatever they asked for, without even thinking about what the money he has to collect from them. When we say this story, it may look a little bit funny to us, that you become a devotee and this is what's going to happen. You do a business and the business doesn't ever work. Business all falls into problems. How can you run a business like this? Tukaram was handing over all the grains and everything what he was in the shop to people without even asking for, because he was more interested in his state of consciousness was such. Imagine Tukaram's wife situation. She has to put up with all this. She was not self-realized or anything. But she had to live through this situation. So all these great devotees and great personalities, they had a difficulty while dealing with this world. It's always a problem. There's no doubt about it. This is one of the reasons why many of these souls, after they have realized, they move away from this world. They move away from this world. And so here our Yajnavalkya says to them that now, after I have taken my cows, now you can ask all the questions. Now you can ask all the questions, he says. So, Janaka Maharaj starts asking questions and answers were given immediately by Yajnavalkya without any problems. Yajnavalkya's story is very famous. That's from him, Taittiriya Upanishad and all has come. So, Yajnavalkya at that point says to King Janaka that every question he is asked, he is saying, Sahasram Dadhami. I'm giving thousands of gold coins in reply to that. After that, he hands over the whole palace. And then he hands over himself to Yajnavalkya. Or ultimately surrenders to Yajnavalkya in that way. So, Pashugaman, just because on the other hand, he has to prove to every time that I am a self-realized soul, that will not happen. That is the point what was made there. That he says there that the Yajnavalkya's answer was this to the Brahmanas, that this topic of self-realization, and if I give instructions to King Janaka on this, even if he hands over everything to me, it is not even a proper compensation for that. It cannot value it. You cannot value this realization of the self. That is the Brahmanishta. That means self-realization is such a highly elevated realization that nothing in this world can match as a compensation or as a dakshina or anything. You can't give anything as a gift or anything back to Yajnavalkya. Yajnavalkya's point was that nothing that is equal to what I deserve for the realization what I'm going to offer to Janaka. So in this way that discussion happened. And if you hear about Swami Ramdas, a famous sannyasi, that sannyasi also had to travel a lot of times. And while traveling, people used to ask him about the same question. Ramda says, yes, jnanis and the devotees, they can be easily cheated. There is no problem. Therefore, normally they withdraw from the world itself. So, Ramachandra was told by Vasishtha, Vasishtha also told Ramachandra, keep all this knowledge inside and deal with this world and let the knowledge give you peace inside, and in the world outside you play what you have to play, the role. Loke vihara raghava. So, in that process, if you deal with the world, happiness and distress will come. Will come. There is nothing we can do about it. That is the nature of this world. Sukham and dukham will come. Whether you are a realized soul, whether you are not a realized soul, jnani or ajnani, doesn't matter. You still have to experience happiness and distress in this world. This was Vasishtha's instructions to Ramachandra. Therefore, what Krishna has spoken here in these verses now is, the first verse, Krishna says, those who have moved away from the world. That is that answer. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan altmanyeva altmanatushta. Altmanyeva altmanatushta. Altmanyeva altmanatushta stida pratnya tadochyade. So this first category, who have dealt with this world, who do not want to deal with this world, but they are realized. That is this category. Which one? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan altmanyeva altmanatushta. That means they are people who have understood, realized the truth inside, understood the difficulty with the mind, learned how to withdraw from the mind, and able to situate themselves within the soul. Altmanyeva altmanatushta. Stidadir munirucchade. This is the first category, or the avadudas we were talking about. The second category, who have to deal with this world, that is what Krishna is going to talk about in the next verse. You will see there in the 56th verse, Dukheshu anidvignamanaha Sukheshu vigadaspruhaha Vidaragha bhayakrodhaha Stidadhir muniruchyade Dukheshu anidvignamanaha Sukheshu vikadasprahaha Vidaragha bhayakrodhaha Stidadhir muniruchyade. Translation. One who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a stage of steady mind. It's called a stage of steady mind. So, the first category is the category of those avadhutas like Dattatreya, like Sukadeva Goswami, like Jadabharata, and many others like that, who have withdrawn from the world and they moved away from here after realizing the truth. It does not mean that they are from a lower level. We should not misunderstand like that. They have decided, themselves decided, that we don't want to deal with this world, because after self-realization, they do not think in terms of this planet or this country or this place or this people. No such connections anymore in the realized state. So they have moved away from here. You can see, if you look at the way Jadabharata conducted his activities, Dattatreya Maharshi conducted his activities, Sukadeva Goswami conducted his activities, no connection with anybody, no attachment anywhere. Even when he came to instruct Parikshit, 7 days he spoke Bhagavatam. At the end of Bhagavatam, the only one question he had to ask is, Parikshit, was, is everything okay now? Have you understood the message, got the message? As soon as Parikshit started speaking, what did he say there? He says there, Siddhosmi Anagrahidosmi. I have got it, he says. He did not say one word after that. Sukadeva Goswami walked out. Even didn't say goodbye to him, I'll see you later, or where I'll meet you again. Give his phone number, nothing. Walked away from here, straight away. No more discussion after that. That is the state of realization they had. For them, they are in that category. It doesn't mean, because they are not dealing with this world, doesn't mean they are on a lower level. Please do not misunderstand in that way. They were capable, but they do not want to do it. They just gave it up and moved away. They will only come into, somehow it was Sukadeva Goswami's special mercy to Parikshit that he has decided to come and talk to him, Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it was prompted by Krishna from within. There's no doubt about that. But that happens only to very rare cases. Similarly, Jadabharata instructed Rahugana. That is also Krishna's mercy. That Rahugana's good fortune that Jadabharata was prompted to speak. Same thing with Dattatreya Maharshi, who decided to speak to King Yadu. like in the Canto 11, you saw that. The 24 spiritual masters, which King Jarabharata, Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken. Same way you will see, Prahlada went to see Dattatreya Maharshi, isn't it? That is in the 7th canto, you can see there. There, Atreya Maharshi instructed Prahlada while he was lying on the Kaveri river bank. Riverbank Kaveri, Atreya Maharshi was lying there, Prahlada meets him, and that discussion you can read in the 7th canto. There again, he saw Prahlada, although born Hiranyakashipu's son, in Prahlada he saw that this candidate is qualified for receiving the spiritual knowledge. So he instructs Prahlada there. Dattatreya Maharshi instructs Prahlada there. So like this, in Bhagavatam you will find in 9th canto several instances like this, where depending when somebody is qualified, Krishna sends the right person to instruct them at that time. So here, this category of people we have seen now. What is what Krishna has talked about? Prajahadi Yadakaman. That verse is referring to these personalities who, like Sudeva Goswami, like Jadabharata, like Dattatreya Maharshi, and so many others like that in the Bhagavatam you will see. Prajahadi Yadakaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan Almanyev Almanatushta. That is their qualification. They are always in the spiritual platform. Never moves from that. Their mind never gets disturbed over anything because there is no connection with the body even. They are so much in the realized state, in the self-realized state, they can only see the soul, nothing else. The body even doesn't exist for them. They have reached that state. Now, the second category, what we are going to see now, is Dukheshu Anudignamana Sukheshu Vigadaspriha Vidaraga Bhayakrodham Siddhadhir Munir Uchyate. Krishna says here. This is a very scientific verse in the sense, if we look at this verse, how much Krishna has packed into that verse. Dukheshu Anudignamana. If you just need the translation, you won't get it, the message in that verse. Dukheshu Anudignamana, Krishna says, that his nature is, when dukkham comes, the mind doesn't get disturbed. When sukham comes also, sukheshu vigadaspriha, mind doesn't move. How does that happen? This is where the secret is. Krishna puts the secret in there. He says here that sukham dukkham will happen whether you are a jnani or a ajnani. Whether you are a jnani or a ajnani, sukham and dukkham will come in this world. You cannot escape from that. Whether a jnani touches fire or a jnani touches fire, hands will burn. Jnani will feel hungry, a jnani also will feel hungry. So you cannot escape from that. So the difference is the jnani's mind doesn't move. Jnani's mind doesn't move. And Krishna is explaining that. That Krishna is saying here that the why do we suffer when distress comes? That is the question first. Why do we suffer when the distress comes? You see, in this world, we only want sukham, isn't it? Happiness. We don't want distress. Isn't it? Sukham we want, everybody. Everybody wants happy. Nobody wants to be distressed. So that is why all the time, our attachment is towards sukham. Towards sukham. If you look into the mind very carefully, the pattern of the movement of the mind is like this. The pattern of movement is like that. All the time, we are looking for happiness, happiness, happiness. Nothing else. Only happiness we want. We don't want distress in this world. So, here, the interesting thing is, if you understand this movement of the mind, that means, Dukheshu Anudvignamana Sukheshu Vigadaspriha. That is the message there. Message is like this, that when sukham comes, you are attached to it. You stick to it, isn't it? You like it. Krishna is saying, if you don't want sukham, if you don't get attached to sukham, and if the sukham is, or happiness when it comes, if it does not disturb you, if you have practiced that, when dukham comes, it won't disturb you. This is the secret of that. Krishna is saying there. Dukheshu Anudvignamana Sukheshu Vigadaspriha. That because this mind, the pattern of movement of the mind is like that. When good things, when you make money or when you become famous or when you succeed in something, you become happy, isn't it? Somebody praises you or somebody glorifies you. Something happens in life, immediately you are feeling happiness from that. Krishna is saying, if you have learned how to keep that away, not attaching the mind, immediately Krishna says, distress won't touch you. Distress also won't touch you. Because actually, in realized state, there is neither dukkham nor sukham. This sukham, dukkham is coming from the mind. How we have manipulated the mind. How we have programmed the mind. Accordingly, sukham and dukkham you are experiencing in this world. One who has gone beyond the mind, for him there is no happiness, there is no distress. This sukham and dukkham is relationship with the mind. Anandam is what actually we are looking for. We are not looking for sukham and dukkham. Mistakenly, we are thinking that sukham and dukkham is the world. But actually, realized state is anandam, which is different than sukham. We have mentioned that before. Sukham is through mind and the senses. Anandam is the nature of the soul. Krishna's point is, if we have learned how to deal with the world in such a way, when sukham comes, if it does not affect you, Krishna says, when dukkham comes, it won't affect you. That is that two lines. Dukkeshu anudvigna manaha, sukheshu vigadaspraha. If sukheshu vigadaspraha is there, dukkeshu anudvigna manaha will automatically come. And those who are, sometimes we see people, they become so jubilant when something happens in life, so excited about everything. And the very next minute, something else happens, those feel so depressed and so lost in this world. Why does that happen? Because of this. This is the way the mind moves in this world. This is the way the mind moves in this world. Mind, the nature of the mind is like, mind you have to remember, we discussed it yesterday. What does the mind do? Sangalpam vigalpam, vijrambhanam vijrambhanam, Shastra says like that. Vijrambhanam means it manifests and it disturbs everything. And if you have controlled it, it subdues everything. So the nature of the mind is such that the nature of the mind is sangalpam and vigalpam. And the sangalpam and vigalpam is happiness and distress is coming, nothing else. It is also a sangalpam only, what we call it as happiness. And it is also another sangalpam, what we call as distress. For a self-realized person, happiness and distress doesn't exist. It is only for the conditioned soul, happiness and distress. So Krishna's point is, first person, if you want to deal with this world, this is what this question coming up from. If you want to deal with this world and still being situated in this realized state, Krishna says, dukheshu anudvigna manaha, sukheshu vigadaspraha. Sukheshu vigadaspraha. Even when happiness comes, no touch, not affecting inside. Inside is not affected. That self-realized state is perfectly fixed in that state of consciousness. Therefore, it doesn't affect him. And if it is like that, when distress comes, also it won't affect you. That is the secret behind. Because this is transcendence. Transcendence means this. That moving away from the happiness of platform happiness and distress. Happiness and distress, most of us, majority, and almost all of us in this modern spiritual field, we are used to this one concept. Then as soon as some distress comes, we run to Krishna, going to Krishna and saying to him, why have you given me all this distress? Mm-hmm. And then when things are going very well, there Krishna is not in picture. We are in the picture very much. Everything has gone very well because I have done it. It's me behind everything, isn't it? So these things are there. That is where we have to take this understanding from Krishna, from Ramachandra. They have the ones who have taught us how to deal with this world. Look at Krishna's activities. Krishna in Rajasuyam sacrifice, we mentioned this many times before. In Rajasuyam sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he comes and washes feet of all the sages. That's the duty Yudhishthira Maharaj has given to him, to wash the feet of all the sages who had come. And Krishna took it in a different way. That is very interesting there. Generally, if you are given a duty, clean all the toilets and the bathroom and wash the feet of everyone who is coming to the temple, you will say, it's not me. Somebody else can do that. Isn't it? That'll be our normal approach. Most of the people will do that. Why? Because we consider, washing somebody's feet or doing menial jobs like that will not be a proper way of Krishna consciousness. And probably we don't have that surrender to that understanding due to various reasons. That we will not go into that. It's a different issue. But the principle is this, that any activity Krishna could do. Krishna drove the chariot for Arjuna. Krishna washed the feet of all the great sages. when everyone else looked at Krishna, Krishna asked Yudhishthira Maharaj before Rajasuyam, what is the service for me? Because Rajasuyam sacrifice was a big event, isn't it? 17, 18 months it lasted. I think in the, somewhere it mentioned 17 months and 17 days or so it lasted. So you can imagine, a sacrifice lasting 17 months and 17 days. So in that sacrifice, before it started, different duties were allocated to different personalities. Karna was given in charge of the finance. Karna was in charge of the charity. Duryodhana was in charge of the finance. Bhimasena was in charge of the kitchen. And like this, different duties were allocated. So after allocating duties to everyone, Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't say one word to Krishna. Because Yudhishthira knew very well the whole sacrifice is happening because of the presence of the absolute truth there. Krishna's presence is why all these things were happening. But Krishna had no such feeling, I am the absolute truth, I am the supreme personality of Godhead. He goes to Yudhishthira and says to him, Yudhishthira, what is my job? Elder brother, isn't it? Yudhishthira is elder brother. So addressed him in a very respectful way. And Krishna is asking Yudhishthira, what is my duty here? He says, Yudhishthira Maharaj looked at him and couldn't answer anything. So ultimately, Yudhishthira Maharaj told him like this, whatever you want to do, that service you can do it, he said. Gave the option to Krishna. Krishna was very happy inside because this is exactly what the answer he wanted from him. He says to him, all right, let's do one thing. There'll be so many guests coming here. Great, great kings from the big, big families, big aristocratic families, very royal palaces, big, big princes. All of them will be coming here and so many other guests also. You can see the list of all the sages who came from Rajasuyam. If you see that list, what an impressive list it is. All the great personalities, Parashuram, Bhrigu, Yajnavalkya Maharshi, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Krutu, Vasishta, endless, Vishwamitra, Parashuram with all his disciples, Gandhi, so many, a number of sages, they all came. Krishna was thinking, I get an opportunity to wash all their feet. Look at Supreme Absolute Krishna's position. How is this possible? Because inside is not affected. Externally, everything Krishna has done according to the situation. That is the secret behind that. Dukkheshu amekdamanaha, sukheshu vigadaspruhaha. That there is no sukham and dukham is not there inside. That is for the conditioned soul. Sukham and dukham is for the conditioned soul. For the absolute truth, Krishna is playing a role like this as a realized soul in this world. As a householder, still realized, fully realized. That's a role Krishna is playing here. So you have to see him like that. Not as the absolute truth now. You have to see him like a king in Dwaraka who came there for Rajasuyam sacrifice, but all his activities were such that at no point Krishna was affected by anything. And it is in the same sacrifice. Shishubala has come forward and abused Krishna. Again, did anything happen to Krishna? No. He was still smiling in the Rajasuyam. That it was then eventually Krishna realized that it is time now that my servant has to go back to Vaikuntham and send him back straight away to Vaikuntham. That Shishubala went back, sent back to the spiritual world because he was also waiting for this opportunity. The time of birth itself, that Shishubala knew, was told, Shishubala's mother was told, Shishubala is Krishna's cousin, you have to remember that. That Kunti Devi's sister's son is Shishubala. So Shishubala started abusing Krishna in Rajasuyam and Krishna wanted the promise what Krishna has given to Shishubala's mother was up to 100 offenses I will tolerate, on the 101st one I will not tolerate after that, he said. So that was the last one he spoke in the Rajasuyam and with that Shishubala was sent back to the spiritual world. Krishna decided to send back Shishubala to the spiritual world. He got liberated at that point. So, important thing here is that in the realized state, how he acts in this world, it is one of those examples. So, all the sages who came there, Krishna was pouring water and washing their feet, all these great, great personalities. And so many people came at the same time and Krishna had to expand it at that time. He had to attend to so many people. But no one else could notice that Krishna was expanding in so many forms. Everyone felt that Krishna is looking after me, they felt. Look at that greatness. That power of yoga, Krishna's expansion at that time to so many different forms and serving each and every sage, because sages came in groups. When they came, he had to attend to every one of them, and each one of them felt that Krishna is attending to me. That is Krishna's yoga power, Yogeshwarya. Yogeshwara he is called, isn't it? So all these things happen. From here you can see that this principle what Krishna has spoken is valid and applied himself in his life here. In Krishna's life here itself, Krishna has shown that. What is this siddhati means? Isn't it? Dukheshu anidvigdamana, sukheshu vigadaspriha, vidaraga bhayakrodham. You see, once vidaragam and bhayam comes, if I think that I have this position, I can't do anything, I am in that. And if I have attachment and aversion to people, if that is the case, that is not possible in the realized state. That's what Krishna is saying. Krishna had no aversion, even with Shishubala, nor with the attachment to sages, nothing like that. But all the sages were very much pleased with Krishna's service. And they asked Krishna, what should we give it to you? Krishna says, bless me, whatever you can. And Krishna is accepting their blessings from them. So, this is Krishna's life in this world. It's one of the finest examples in the Rajasuyam. What Krishna has shown, even in the realized state, how one can act like a perfect householder in this world. Because Krishna's feelings were this, that Yudhishthira Maharaj needs help. And it's my duty to help him. As a devotee, he is thinking like that. Krishna is thinking, Yudhishthira Maharaj is my devotee. He is my devotee. I have to help him. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't know how to thank Krishna after the Rajasuyam sacrifice. Because his whole Rajasuyam, not many people have performed Rajasuyam before. If you look back into the history, you will see. Varuna performed one Rajasuyam once. After that, another Rajasuyam you see, Krishna has performed one Rajasuyam. Otherwise, most of the other sacrifices in the Bhagavadam and other Upuranas, what you find, Rajasuyam has not been performed much. Because to perform Rajasuyam is a very, 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 lot of endeavor and a lot of energy and wealth required to perform Rajasuyam. So this desire came up for Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Krishna decided to fulfill that desire. So he arranged everything on Yudhishthira Maharaj's behalf. And Yudhishthira Maharaj knew very well that without the help of Krishna, this Rajasuyam sacrifice would have never happened. So anyway, that's one situation. Now, if you look into Ramachandra's case, what has all happened there? Ramachandra's case in Valmiki Ramayanam, it is mentioned there very much so that the, these are the subtle side of Ramayanam. They are very, very interesting. Ramachandra was going to be thrown, going to be installed as the king, isn't it? So, when he was going to be installed as the king, Dasharatha took that decision to install Ramachandra as the king. And after the decision was taken, the communication was sent through Sumantra to Ramachandra that tomorrow morning, there wasn't much time left, couple of days or so, that Ramachandra is going to be installed as the king. Now, normally, if a prince is going to be made as the king, you can imagine the whole country was in a joyous mood, and they were started organizing themselves for the festival, big festival, and a big ceremony involved with that. And Ramachandra, you would expect Ramachandra to be extremely happy, isn't it? But when this message was delivered to Ramachandra, he had not at all had any change in his face or in his mind. Sukheshu vigadaspriha. Never touched by anything, what happens? And Sukheshu Vigadaspriha, that means there was not even a tinge of happiness he exhibited that he is going to be made the king. Dasharatha was going to hand over the kingdom to Ayodhya. Ayodhya in those days was full of opulences. In those days, it's full of opulences. Even the opulence were such that the heavenly planets, the residents of the heavenly planets were envious of the facilities in the Ayodhya. It was such a state of the opulence was so high that people wanted to live in Ayodhya. And Ramayanam says that also, that there was no old age, the youth, everyone was so youthful, very, very healthy. And in other words, what they were saying was, Jara, old age didn't happen, even death did not happen to people. Tridayugam it is, isn't it? Tridayugam. So, very long lifespan, a very healthy life, full of opulences, no sorrow, no misery, distress they were experiencing. It was even a challenge to the heavenly planets, the lifestyle in Ayodhya in those days. It is such a kingdom or such a administration that Dasharatha Maharaj wanted to hand over to Ramachandra. But when Ramachandra heard the news, he did not say one thing and he kept completely quiet about this. He didn't show any interest in anything. If that is what's going to happen, let it happen. That was the mood. So after this message was communicated to Ramachandra and Ramachandra reacted in this way, the other members in the family were organizing everything, in the palace were organizing for the coronation ceremony as Ramachandra as the king. It was then that this incident happened. Kaikeyi decided to put a stop, isn't it? Kaikeyi decided to put a stop. And Kaikeyi insisted to King Dasharatha that Ramachandra cannot become the king. On the other hand, Bharata should become the king. When this news came to Ramachandra, again, no movement at all inside. Dukkheshu anudignamanaha, sukheshu vigadaspruhaha. You see, when the good news came, Ramachandra did not get affected. Equally, when the bad news came, our point of view, it is bad news, isn't it? That Ramachandra, he could not become the king. Ramachandra could not become the king. Two days before, Ramachandra was going to become the king. When the news came, Ramachandra is going to become the king, Ramachandra was not affected. 2 days later, when the decision was made, Ramachandra is not going to become the king, again, Ramachandra was not affected. This is the symptom of, this is exactly what Vasishtha Maharshi told to Ramachandra. Keep this, the knowledge should stay inside. Outside world, it will not touch you then. Dukkheshu anudvignamana, sukheshu vigadaspruha. That is the Krishna consciousness. That is the self-realization means. That is self, this sthitapragnyatvam, what Krishna is talking about is that. At least we understand now what it means, isn't it? That the sthitapragnyatvam is like that. That inside knowledge is there. Outside, while dealing with the world, Krishna has said this in this world. If you develop this attitude in life, when the happiness comes, if you do not get affected by that, even when distress comes, it will not touch you. It will not affect you because the mind has lost its potency to enjoy in the effect of happiness and distress. These are dualities of this world. As you know, happiness and distress is a duality in this world. And Dvandvadhidan, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is all about this. That Dvandvadhidan Uchere, it says here, Dvandvadhidan. Dvandvadhidan means this, one who has gone beyond this happiness and distress. Happiness and distress is nothing but, so this is the point, Ramachandra's position is like that. So Ramachandra, after being instructed by Krishna, after instructed by Vasishtha Maharshi, that whole of Ayodhya was full of jubilation that Ramachandra is going to become the king. They all wanted that because seeing Ramachandra's noble qualities, and many people were completely taken shelter of Ramachandra and they were feeling great happiness. So, and without, when this news was communicated, conveyed to Ramachandra that Ramachandra has to go to the forest, straight away took the bow and arrow, decided to leave. That is the state of consciousness of the sthitapragna, what Krishna is saying here. That no matter what happens in this world, because suppose Ramachandra thought, tomorrow I'm going to become the king. And he starts dreaming about that, all sankalpam develop from that. And completely enamored by that, what would have happened next moment you are told you're not getting it? It's just like for us, I'm giving you an example. Somebody tells you that, you won the lottery. And the next moment he tells you, you're not got it. So what will our movement will be, our mind? Imagine that situation. Ordinary people, isn't it? Our happiness and distress is centered around all these things. Ramachandra state, because he's in the spiritually realized state, dukkheshu anudignamana sukheshu vigadaspruha, because there is no ragam vida raga bhaya krodham. That verse, if you look, you will see vida raga bhaya krodham. Ragam is not there. Attachment is not there. Therefore, there is no fear. And therefore, there is no anger. One follows the other. From attachment develops fear. Attachment develops fear. From fear develops krodham, anger. Suppose you are very attached to something, and if you don't, you will always have the fear inside. Will I have it or not? Or will I be able to keep it or not? Attachment builds up like this, isn't it? Vida raga bhayam. From bhayam, it develops krodham. Anger comes. When I think or when I'm told that I'm going to lose it, immediately the anger develops inside. Krodham develops inside. That is the point. So, in all these things, the mind is not working. In a realized person's case, the mind is not working. Now, when we give these stories of Krishna's activities, Ramchandra's activities and all that, these are personalities who have acted in this world in a realized state. Immediately, normal people will say, oh, Ramchandra can do it. He is God, isn't it? Krishna can do it. He is also God. But we are ordinary people. How can we do that? This will be the pattern of thinking. Most of the people will say like this, Ramchandra is God, Krishna is God, they can do all these things, but we are not God, how can we do that? This question will come up. So, this is one problem when we study Shastram. Ramchandra and Krishna did not come to show us that they are God. They don't have to show it to us, they are God. They are God, they don't have to show it to us. And they had some purpose to teach us certain things. Through Ramayanam and Bhagavadam and Mahabharatam, they are teaching us something that we also have to understand how to escape from this world. Because if we are desiring to get out of this material existence, if spiritual realization is the goal, then the process they are teaching us through these examples. There is no other interest behind it. That we shouldn't think that, oh, only Ramchandra can do that because Ramchandra is God. No, Ramchandra is saying to us, and Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavad Gita to us. To Arjuna, he is saying, Arjuna is a conditioned personality like us, isn't it? So otherwise, why should Krishna say this to Arjuna? Vidaraga bhaya krodham. He says, Vidaraga bhaya krodham. He says, Sthitadhir. Because Arjuna asked that question, isn't it? Sthitapratnya se ka bhasha samadhistha se keshava. How does a Sthitapratnya act in this world? Because the question was from Arjuna, a devotee, who wanted to know how to realize the truth. Krishna has to give the answer for that. And the answer is like this. Dukheshu anudvigna mana sukheshu vigadaspraha. There is no question, Krishna says, that one who is searching after the truth, he has to accept this understanding from Bhagavad Gita. There is no other way. There is no other way. And these are the way Krishna is guiding us through different verses from now on. How these things, if this knowledge is inside, and the knowledge should come to our help when we have to deal with this world. That's the point there. When we have to deal with this world. Now, normally when people say like that, we immediately give up then, isn't it? What can you say then? Oh, Ramchandra is God, so he can come and do whatever he wants and go whatever he does. He is God at the end. We can't do it. We are still stuck here in the same way. We won't change, in other words. That's what we are saying directly. So, in order to clarify that, in Ramayanam, immediately after that, we are shown about Lakshmana, how he reacted to this situation. When this situation developed in the palace about Ramchandra's coronation, Lakshmana's approach, if you look at it, was like an ordinary person. Rama and Lakshmana is playing this role here to teach us certain things. Lakshmana immediately reacted very strongly. First reaction, when Ramchandra is going to be coronated, Lakshmana was in extreme blissful nature, completely happy. Wanted to celebrate in a big scale, started organizing the whole festival in a big way. Lakshmana was so happy that when he came to know that Ramchandra is going to take over the administration, Lakshmana was the person who was most happy about that. And he wanted to make it a great success, this whole celebration of Ramchandra's coronation. When that happened, Ramchandra didn't say anything to Lakshmana. Then this news came from Kaikeyi's interference. Kaikeyi started interfering in the administration and started saying that Dasharatha, instructing Dasharatha that you know that whole story in Ramayanam. Everybody knows that story, isn't it? What happened? So Kaikeyi started interfering and started saying that Ramchandra cannot become the king. On the other hand, Bharata should become the king. Did you see how Lakshmana reacted to that situation? Lakshmana becomes so excited He said, he pulled the sword out and said, I'm going to kill Dashrath, I'm going to kill Kaikeyi now. He says, he was so upset about it. And he even wanted to go and bring Bharata from there and talk to him about this. To such an extent, Lakshmana was excited about this whole thing. And he goes to Ramachandra and talks about this. And Ramachandra's reply at that time, that he says, some of the things what Lakshmana has spoken there is very strong words, he has said. Just because a woman has spoken something, the father has become so much affected by that and he makes a decision like this. He changes his decision immediately. All kinds of things he spoke at that time. And it is then Ramachandra instructs Lakshmana. It is famous in the Ramayana as Lakshmanopadesham. Instructions to Lakshmana from Ramachandra. Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughan, they have all come to teach us the process of self-realization. That is the only goal behind it. So Rama says to him that, Lakshmana, think about this. Think about this. Till yesterday, Kaikeyi was very favorable to us. She treated us extremely well. She treated us extremely well. Even better than Kausalya has treated me. Kaikeyi was so much a mother to me, than better than even Kausalya. And suddenly, why did this change happen to her intelligence? Why did this change happen to her intelligence? Why did he go 180 degrees the other way? It was such a sudden change in Kaikeyi's heart. How could this happen? Ramachandra asking Lakshmana to think about it. Why did this happen? Lakshmana couldn't answer that question immediately. It was then that Ramachandra says to him that Mandara, through Mandara, Kaikeyi was influenced, isn't it? Mandara instructed Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi then put the spanner and told Dasharatha that Ramachandra cannot become the king. Bharata should be installed now the king. That Krishna, Ramachandra's logic is there is that this, that whatever is destined to happen, whatever destined to happen for us, it will happen through someone. Either it could be through Mandara or through Kaikeyi or anyone. This was the first thing Ramachandra wanted to tell Lakshmana. That prarabdham is this. Whatever that has to happen to us will happen through someone in some way. Will happen through someone in some way. Don't try to swim against the flow. This is the first instruction Ramachandra gives to Lakshmana. Don't try to swim against the flow. Because whatever has to happen, will happen. Whatever has to happen, will happen. So, therefore, that has to happen and that you cannot stop it. But you have to play your role in this world. You have to play your role in this world. Ramchandra's words are very important here. That, just like in the puppet dance, how the puppets are being played, the law of karma behind us is pulling each one of us in different directions. That we can see also. If you closely analyze life, you can also see each one of us has to play a role in this world, whatever role that is. And when that role is over, we all have to go from here, in our own direction, whichever way we have to go. So what is that controlling us? When we are here, we take it that it is us who are running the show, isn't it? But practically speaking, in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if you know, Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahangara Vimudhalma Kartaham Iti Manyate, that is the most important verse there. Kartaham Iti Manyate, I am the doer, that is where the problem has come. Actually, all my karmam, all my destiny, work, everything is controlled from behind by the laws of karmam. Very powerful laws of karmam is acting in this world. And if destiny is such that I have to go through such an experience, it is better not to flow against that, work against that. That will be the foolishness. Because destiny is such that I am meant to go through this. I am meant to go through this. Once it so happened that one in an ashram, a maharshi was living, a sage was living there, and somebody came to visit him. So when he came to visit him, he says to him, to the sage, that is it necessary to take sannyasam to become self-realized? Sage said, no, it's not necessary. Self-realization is open to everyone, whether you are a brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam. No matter which situation you are in, it doesn't matter. The knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is open to everybody. So the question came from him, then you have taken sannyas, so you can say like that, shall I also take sannyas, he says. If I take sannyas, will that happen to me like the way it has happened to you? He says, from the very question I can understand that for you, sannyasam is only a changing cloth, nothing else than that. So as far as he is concerned, he is saying that your destiny is to stay as a householder, my destiny is to be like a sannyasi, he says. This is the, because whether you are a sannyasi or a householder, if there is no self-realization in either of them, whether you are a sannyasi or a householder, what does it matter? That was his question. If you have not realized the truth, either in, just because you change in the cloth and became a sannyasi, doesn't mean that you become self-realized. There is no guarantee there. Then self-realization is not dependent on any of these things. That was the point he was making. He says to him, my destiny, my prarabdham is like this, that I am supposed to stay like this. I have no family life. I happen to be like this. And your prarabdham is like this, that you have to go through all this botheration. So there is no such thing that spiritual life is completely independent from all material situations. So that each and every karmavasana inside, in order to experience that, the different kinds of incidents happens in life and it come in front of us. Our freedom is not to change that. What is our freedom then? Knowing all these things, to stay inside completely with this full knowledge and totally peaceful. That is the freedom what we have got. We have in God, if we think, you can look back into the history throughout this world, so many big personalities have come and done so many big things. Will any of them stayed in this world? Nothing stayed. They all came and they have gone. And none of the things what they have done stayed here permanently. It will not stay. Only thing, they had to go through that situations, they had to deal with that situation. But the freedom what Krishna has given to us is this. The freedom is this, that destiny will take its own route, that you can't change it. That is already set up. That's already set up. According to the karmam, it will come in life. What freedom you have is knowing very well that to know this knowledge, this understanding of the truth, and accepting this understanding and to be completely free inside. Inside is totally free. That freedom is what the message what Vasishtha has given to Ramachandra, Rama has given to Lakshmana. Rama says to Lakshmana, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, the freedom what we have here is to know this fully well, and that is why even when Sita Devi was sent to the forest at the end, you know Uttara Ramayanam story, at the end of Ramachandra's pastimes, the final thing, which was the most heartbreaking thing, that Sita Devi, whilst being pregnant in the forest, she was sent to the forest, isn't it? Because of the washerman spoken something about the king, and Ramachandra had to take that decision. And Ramachandra decided to send Sita Devi to the forest. And whom did he ask to take her? Lakshmana. Lakshmana had to take Sita Devi to the forest and leave her there. Pregnant Sita Devi. And even when this happened, Ramachandra is still in the same consciousness, saying that Dukeshu anudvignamana Sukeshu vigadaspraha. Later on, when Lakshmana was ordered by Ramachandra that if he does not take his instructions, he will be shot. I am the king giving the order, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana. So, Ramachandra has been instructing Lakshmana throughout Ramayanam. You will see these instructions, that inside we have the freedom. But whether you are in the forest or in the country, it doesn't matter. Actually, we are not situated in the kingdom. We are not situated in the body either. We are situated in the soul. This is the point, Ramachandra's point. That is the truth about self-realization. That when we move into the spiritual platform, country, body, material body, all these things have no relevance anymore. Their stages have gone. We have left them behind. So, while dealing, if you are self-realized, what Krishna is saying here is, if you are self-realized, that knowledge should still be inside, even if you have to deal with this world. And that is what Ramachandra has shown here. When Sita Devi was sent to the forest, when the incident with Dasharatha and Kaikeyi happened. In all these situations, Vasishtha Maharshi's words came to Ramchandra's. In Ramchandra was remembering Vasishtha Maharshi's words. What was that? Loke vihara Raghava. You play your role in this world as a king. That will not affect your self-realization. It will not affect your self-realization. That is self-realization. Self-realization means this, that freedom from the body, freedom from this world, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses. This is self-realization. Not that completely controlled by the mind and the body and the senses and the world and then saying that I am not getting self-realized. How will it happen? So that is what Krishna is saying here. That the whether it is in the, this is, that is called that perfection or purnatvam inside, purnata. When that perfection is inside, whether you are in the forest, whether you are in the country or in the city, it doesn't matter, nothing will disturb you. He says here, this is only possible, Krishna says, when happiness comes, don't get attached to it. If that happens, then when distress comes, it will not disturb you either. This is the clue behind it, or this is the technique behind it. In other words, Krishna is saying, when happiness comes, if it's not disturbing you, or it's not affecting you, in other words, when distress comes also, it won't affect you. That is the nature of the mind. It is the secret behind it. So, that's why he says here, that dukkheshu anudvigna manaha, sukheshu vigadaspruhaha, vidaraga bhayakrodaha, sthidadhir muniruchyade. Sthidadhi, his mind, sthidadhi, or his prajna. Prajna means, I mentioned this before, what prajna means. Prajna is not the intelligence we are talking about, that the realization from the soul. One who is situated on the spiritual platform, fully in identification as the soul, he is sthidadhi. His consciousness, prajna, is sthidadhi. Sthidir munir uchyate, he says here. And then, he says here, after that, this one instance from about Ramachandra, this instance about Ramachandra, Sukadev Goswami did not forget. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, what did he say about Ramachandra? There are two verses in the 11th canto, one referring to Ramachandra and one referring to Krishna. Ramachandra's other glories were not spoken by Sukadev Goswami. Other glories were not spoken. Ramchandra was a very powerful king. Maryada Purushottam, we call him, isn't it? So many things we say about Ramchandra. Sukadev Goswami does not find any of them very attractive in Ramchandra. He does not give any credit for that. He says, even better kings than Ramchandra had come to this world. Who? Prithu Maharaj. Even much better than Ramchandra. Why he was better? See, Ramchandra was handed over a kingdom which was full of opulences and full of happiness, everything to administer. Prithu Maharaj had to inherit a kingdom which was full of misery, no food to eat, people were starving. And that kingdom, Prithu Maharaj brought it to the highest standard of happiness. So who is higher? Prithu's administration was so high compared to Ramchandra's administration. We always say, because we hear Ramayana, we say Ramchandra's administration was great, isn't it? But if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice this. Prithu's administration, people who are begging Prithu Maharaj for food, and that Prithu Maharaj, people were completely godless. Vena, Prithu's father in the sense that from Vena's body, Prithu appeared, isn't it? So Vena made everyone atheist in the country. Everyone was an atheist. Nobody could speak about God. Nobody could speak about Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. Nothing was discussed. Completely a animalistic level. People have fallen to that state. And due to Vena's mismanagement and due to offenses what he has committed, eventually he lost his life. By now, Bhumi Devi pulled out from supplying anything to the people. Bhumi Devi has pulled out. She won't supply any food. She won't supply any aushadhis, it's mentioned. So many things in the Bhagavatam, you can read that. So, when all those things happened, Prithu Maharaj appeared. And this Prithu Maharaj had to manage this kingdom with people like this and Bhumi Devi reacting like this. And so, there you will notice, with Bhumi Devi, Prithu Maharaj dealt with them properly. Eventually, Bhumi Devi agreed to supply everything. He trained the people in Krishna consciousness. How? You can see Prithu Maharaj's life at the end, if you read, Prithu Maharaj glorifying the Absolute Krishna so nicely, the four Kumaras were sent to instruct Prithu Maharaj. And from four Kumaras, Pudu Maharaj got these spiritual instructions and showed himself as an example, how he gave up his body, eventually went back to the forest and left his body and went back to the spiritual world along with his wife Archis. So perfect householder life, perfect life as a king, and brought the kingdom to the highest level of happiness, spiritually and materially, both. So if you look at the results in that way, Pudu Maharaj has done much better than Lord Ramachandra even. Both are Krishna's different expansions, isn't it? But because of this, Sukadeva Goswami says, I do not consider all those things as important as well as Ramachandra is concerned. But tektva sudupsidam surepsidara jalakshmim dharmishtam aryavajasa yadagad aranyam maya mragam deida ipsidam anvadhaval vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. There are two verses, one referring to Ramachandra and one referring to Krishna. What's about Ramachandra is saying, Ramachandra's greatest achievement or the greatest quality, what Sukadeva Goswami is seeing, is a self-realized soul. One self-realized soul is seeing in Ramachandra something very important. What is that? Tektva sudupsidam surepsidara jalakshmim. To become a king of a kingdom like Ayodhya, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. It is one of the greatest happiness one should feel when one is offered the throne in Ayodhya. Ayodhya's role position was such at that time. And that kingdom or that position as the king, he threw it away just like grass is thrown away into the bin. In the such a way, he threw it away. He had dukkheshu anudignamanaha sukheshu vigadasprahaha. That tektva sudupsida surepsida. Demigods want to come and take birth in Ayodhya. That was the situation at that time. And that thing, Rajya Lakshmim, so opulence, so much opulence in that kingdom at that time. And that he has tektva, threw it away. And then dharmeshtamarya vajasa yadagadaranyam. That in order to say that the words of Dasharatha should come true, he decided to go to the forest wearing that the deer skin and with the bow and arrow holding the hand of Lakshmana and Sita Devi, he walked out into the forest. Who else can do this? Sudeva Goswami asking this. How was that possible? Because Ramachandra has strictly followed that instructions from Vasishtha. That inside knowledge never affected, whether it is in the forest or in Ayodhya. It doesn't matter. Outside, we have to do what we have to do. Inside, the knowledge will take care of itself. Nothing has to be stirred by. So this is that principle behind it. Tektva sudupsida surepsida rajalakshmim dharmishta aryavajasa yadagad aranyam. He went to the forest in that way. Mayamrgam deida eepsida manyodhaval. Mayamrgam deida eepsida anyodhaval. That means when Marija came and in the form of that deer, golden deer, and followed, and at that time, and how he dealt with Marija at that time. Mayamrgam daida eepsida manyodhaval. He followed Marija after that, isn't it? Vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. And even while following, Sita Devi was abducted at that time, isn't it? But then Ravana came and kidnapped Sita Devi and took the dress of a sannyasi and went away. If you read in Ramayana at different stages, how Ramachandra was exhibiting this nature, of this Sthita Prajnatvam all the time. Sita Devi was kidnapped and externally Ramachandra had to cry to the world to show that I am affected by Sita Devi being kidnapped. But inside, Loge Vihara Raghava, never affected by anything. How do you know that Sita Devi, Ramachandra was not affected? You will see that. If you keep reading Ramayanam, you will see at one stage, our King Sugriva had made this agreement with Ramachandra, isn't it? That Ramachandra will kill Bali. And in return, Sugriva will help Ramachandra to find where Sita is, where Sita Devi is. So before Sita Devi's inquiry started, the rainy season came. And Sugriva made the excuse that I have to go now. For next four months is not a good time to send the to look for Sita Devi. We'll have to wait for 4 months. Ramachandra didn't say one word, even at that time. You would have said, normally you could have said that, what does it matter if it's rain? Why can't they go? That would have been the question, isn't it? You could have asked that question. He didn't say anything. Chaturmasyam has come 4 months. Those 4 months, Ramachandra spent in the forest with Lakshmana, instructing Lakshmana on various things related to the soul. Related to the soul. That is, all the discussions happened between the two brothers, all about the spiritual topics, about self-realization. So you can see that when the soul is, when inside the knowledge is fulfilled, when the knowledge is shining, the discussion is all about the soul. So later on, after the end of 4 months, at the end of 4 months, Sugriva by now has forgotten everything. He got his job done, isn't it? So he has gone back, and Sugriva had practically no interest in spiritual life. He was practically a nonsense, to tell the truth. Why? Because as soon as he got back, he saying that now that I am the king, and engaged in sense enjoyment. Engaged in total sense enjoyment. Completely forgotten about Ramchandra and the promise he made to Ramchandra and Lakshmana and everything. So, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, after 4 months, nothing was happening. He says to Lakshmana, go and find out what has happened, what has Sugriva done. You know, Lakshmana is actually waiting for this instruction. He just wanted to go and take the revenge on Sugriva straight away. And as soon as Ramachandra saw Lakshmana's mood, he thought that Sugriva won't be there afterwards. Sugriva will not exist the way Lakshmana started. Immediately pulled him back and told him, after all, he's a monkey, isn't it? And a monkey's brain also cannot work like this. And plus, he's a householder now. So you don't expect too much from him. This was the instructions to Lakshmana, just to calm him down. In other words, look at Ramachandra as that Sthitaprajnatvam inside. That he had this thing, whatever that has to happen will happen. But inside that state of consciousness, always peaceful within himself. So because of that, when Lakshmana went there to see Sugriva, Lakshmana initially went to the gate of the palace where Sugriva was staying. Sugriva was staying with Bali's wife and his wife and other children, everybody there. So there were two monkeys who were standing at the gate. Two vanaras were standing at the gate. So Lakshmana got there. Lakshmana got there and he informed them to go and tell Sugriva that Lakshmana had come. So the gate was open and they were standing on either side. So when Lakshmana said this, what did the monkeys do? Instead of going through the gate inside, they jumped over the wall on either side and went into the palace. So Lakshmana laughed, seeing, if this is the followers, what will be the king like, he says. The gate is open, and on either side they are standing. Monkey's nature, you see. Monkeys cannot follow like the normal route, isn't it? Their route is to jump straight away. So instead of going through the gate, they jumped over the wall on either side, and then go through the street to the palace. So when they got there, they informed Sugriva, Lakshmana had come. So there, Sugriva says, who is this Lakshmana? He's fully drunk. He's completely drunk. Sugriva is completely drunk. And he says, I don't know Lakshmana, he says. So there were few people there. Hanuman was also there. Hanuman says to him, better don't speak like this. Your life will be finished here. You don't know who is standing outside, he said. So somehow or the other, then Lakshmana was brought inside. So the message to Lakshmana was, from Ramachandra to Sugriva was, through Lakshmana, was that just tell him that the arrow which I have used to kill Bali has not rusted yet. It's still there. Just mention this to him. That's enough, he says. So then all this, in Ramayanam, you know what happened after that? Hanuman mentioned this to Sugriva. Sugriva immediately came to his senses. He couldn't even get up properly from the seat. When he got up, because he was so drunk, he slipped and fell there. And when he fell, he paid his obeisances to Lakshmana after falling. It was a falling down, complete dandavad to Lakshmana. So Lakshmana got pacified. At least he is paying his respects to me. So this is all, these funny scenes are there in the Ramayana. Remember, after all these things happen, Krishna is giving Sugriva as an example for a self-realized soul in the Bhagavatam. Imagine that. And this Sugriva, how did he manage to get there? Sugriva had no interest in spiritual life, never chanted one holy name, never took any Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, nothing he has done. Krishna says, Sugriva also has gone back to spiritual world due to only one thing, association, satsangam. He says, that verse you can read in the 11th canto, when it is spoken about Sugriva. So, the powerful association, and whose association? That question will come, isn't it? Sugriva had one association, important association, that was Hanuman's association. That association made Sugriva to realize the truth and go back to the spiritual world. Among the number of persons listed in the Bhagavatam, these are the interesting personalities. What has Sugriva done, actually? On the other hand, instead of pleasing Ramachandra in many times, what he has done is offended Ramachandra many times. He has offended Ramachandra many times. And in spite of all that, this is what is known Kripa, mercy. This is Krishna's mercy. There's nothing you can say. That the bonus of Vanara, no opportunity to study the Shastram, no other possibility, but simply due to the association from Hanuman, Sugriva goes back to the spiritual world. So, here we are saying that Tektva Sudupsida Surepsida Rajalakshmim. Sudeva Goswami says here, that was the kind of detachment what Ramachandra had. That, and not only that, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, look at this, how much Kaikeyi loves me. Look at this, how much Kaikeyi loves me. Why? See, administering a nation, a kingdom, is a very responsible job. Whereas going to the forest means, it's a very entertaining job, isn't it? He says to Lakshmana, look, now we have come to this forest. We get the opportunity to have satsangam, association with so many great sages here. Agastya Maharshi, Bharadwaja Maharshi, Atri Maharshi, so many great personalities. Suppose I was a king in Ayodhya, what opportunity will I get to meet these personalities? He says. So Kaikeyi is actually more kind to me. He has given the most responsible work of administration and management, everything, to her own son Bharata. In other words, he entangled Bharata with the administration and released me from all that responsibility and allow me to search for the truth in the association of all these great sages in the Ramayanam. We are coming. That is why Ramachandra is traveling through the forest, the Dandakaranyam, Chitragudam, everything. You will see constantly Ramachandra is reminding Lakshmana, this association with these great personalities, all these great sages whom they have associated, this satsangam would have never happened if I had stayed in Ayodhya. Therefore, Ramachandra says, Kaikeyi loves me more than she loves Bharata. If Kaikeyi hasn't done this, I would not have had this opportunity to come to the forest. Then, in other words, all the time, the attention is on the soul, not on the world. Our attention is always on the body and in the world outside, isn't it? Whereas self-realized personalities, like examples like Ramachandra, is showing to us their attention is always on the soul, not on the body, not on the world outside. Then, when happiness comes, great happiness. When happiness comes, we are in an extremely blissful mood. When distress comes, everything is gone. And Valmiki says this example, that Ramachandra did not, Valmiki gives this example that the, and everything was when Ramachandra left the kingdom and went to the Sarayu River, went to the Sarayu River, what has happened was that the, all the people followed Ramachandra, isn't it? You know that story in Ramayana. All the people followed Ramachandra. They said, we cannot live without Ramachandra. That was their conclusion. So Ramachandra went to the forest. All the population also followed him. So when they reached the forest, this is important. When they reached the forest, Ramachandra arranged a feast for everybody. In the forest. So Guha met Ramachandra. You know, the Guha, who was actually a person who lived in the forest, he has no varnashram, anything. He has not been even trained in any shastram, nothing, no spiritual culture at all. But just because of the association of Ramachandra and Ramachandra's mercy, Guha got this advantage, who got that opportunity to serve him. That when everyone had the feast, the next thing what we want is to sleep. Isn't it? General population we are talking about. So after eating, they all wanted to sleep. As soon as they given the facilities to sleep, they all went to sleep. Ramchandra told Guha to arrange the boat and cross the river to the other side. Cross the river to the other side. Valmiki says there, this is to show, those who are absorbed in eating and sleeping, they will not get the soul. They will not get the soul. They will remain in the eating and sleeping business. Nothing will happen to them. So general population is absorbed in eating and sleeping. Eating and sleeping is their main business. They have no interest in spiritual life. This incident in Ramachandra's this pastime is such that if you want Ramachandra, you have to forget about eating and sleeping, because they went to sleep, Ramachandra left. Ramachandra left. Ramachandra says, my duty is finished with them. They can go back, whatever happens. They went back. Ramachandra crossed the river and then with Lakshmana and Sita Devi went ahead with their program from then on. And the morning when they got up, they say, Ramachandra has gone. Everybody is saying, Ramachandra has gone. Oh, now that Ramachandra has gone, we'll go back to Ayodhya, they say. And they all go back to Ayodhya. Because then they started thinking, oh, children have to go to school. And all the other responsibilities started coming one after the other into their mind. So they goes back. Now, funniest thing, it doesn't finish here, this story. They come back. Come back to the palace. Again, Bharata started the administration. And Bharata, they said to Bharata that you are as good as Ramachandra. We have so much love for you, attachment for you, this, that and the other. Just like the normal people will speak in the same way. Ayodhya Vasis, the people of Ayodhya also spoke in the same way. So Bharata said one day that I cannot do it like this forever. I must go and see Ramachandra. So Bharata starts. Immediately all the population also started with Bharata. The journey starts again. Now, this time what happens is, they come to Bharadwaj ashram, and Bharata came with all these people into Bharadwaj Maharshi's ashram, and it is through Bharadwaj Maharshi, Bharata came to know where Ramchandra has gone, and the direction was given by Bharadwaj Muni to Bharata how to find Ramchandra. So, when they arrived in the evening there, everyone was very hungry, very hungry. And they haven't had their prasadam, they haven't had a proper rest, nothing like that. So Bharadwaja Maharshi, out of his yogic power, he brought people from heavenly planets to prepare prasadam for them. They were not happy with the prasadam from here. They wanted the prasadam from the heavenly planets. Bharadwaja Maharshi thought, this is an opportunity to give them some proper prasadam. So the women from the heavenly planets came and they cooked the prasadam for the maids of Ayodhya. Such was the opulence of Bharadwaja Maharshi's capabilities. And when they brought all, and they cooked, and not only that, for the feast to be served, a proper facilities were all arranged for them to eat, take the prasadam. Proper dining halls, tables, chairs, everything, whatever that was necessary. Golden plates and the service by the women from the heavenly planets. They were serving the food. After the prasadam was served, all the population who had come there, they are saying, we never had a feast like this in our life. In the whole life in Ayodhya, we never had one like this. They were glorifying the feast with the greatest minute details. They discussed the feast and they glorified the feast to such an extent that hours and hours they discussed on this topic. And then the next thing, they were inquiring, now where should we lie down to sleep? The next thing. So immediately, knowing very well the human nature, our nature, this is what Valmiki is discussing. Valmiki is actually making a joke of us, all of us. That Valmiki is saying there, after eating, next thing, we want to sleep, isn't it? General class of people, if you have something to eat, a place to sleep and something to gossip, that's all they need in this life. Self-realization and all for others. That's what Ramchandra and Krishna. So anyway, what happened was, Bharadwaja Maharshi, knowing all these things, arranged sufficient facilities for them to rest as well. They rested that night. Bharata escaped in the same way like Ramchandra has gone. And the next morning when they woke up, they found that there was no palace, there was no feast, there was nothing there. Bharadwaja Maharshi's yoga power is working there. So they are saying at that time, what's the point in staying here like this? Better we go back to Ayodhya. They goes back to Ayodhya. While going back to Ayodhya, there is a verse that is mentioned in the Ramayana. It says like this, that that comments from the personalities, they are saying here that whatever happens, they say that in Ayodhya the happiness is very good. Now that Ramachandra is staying in the forest, let him stay there happily there in the forest. And Bharata, let him stay wherever he is. Wherever Bharata is, let him stay there. That is what their point was. And we will stay in Ayodhya where and happily there. So, point was that Bharata should stay in Ayodhya. Naivam Ayodhya Gamishyami. Na Gamishyami Kanane. What should we do? Should we go to Ayodhya? We cannot go to the forest. Na Gamishyami Kanane. Kushalam Bharadasyastu Ramasyastu Tatha Sukham. That let Bharata be happy wherever he is. And let Ramachandra be happy wherever he is. And we will go back to Ayodhya. In other words, Valmiki Maharshi is saying, our so-called bhakti for Ramachandra and Bharata and all that is, it is a similar way. That as long as prasadam is nice and there is a place to sleep, then for us Ramachandra is important, Bharata is important. But otherwise, all these things are not of much concern to us. That's the point he's making there. So here, Krishna is saying here that the dukeshu anidigna mana, sukheshu vigadaspriha. You will notice this also in our own personal life. You can see sometimes when we go on pilgrimage, what happens? How much are we prepared for austerity? We are not prepared for any austerity, are we? We want everything first organized. Only then we can... Actually, this is why modern-day pilgrimages are a waste of time. Strictly speaking, it's a complete waste of time. Because it doesn't get the effect what it expected from that pilgrimage. It's not happening. In the ancient times, when people went on pilgrimage, they never planned in such a way that they have to come back on a particular date. That was not in the agenda. Secondly, prasadam was not an issue. They were always careful that they knew how to organize prasadam in a sattvic way. Because the requirements were very, very simple. Even a place to sleep was not a concern. And there are so many stories about this Tirthayatra from great personalities. If you hear that, you will see what type of Tirthayatra they performed and what kind of Tirthayatra we perform today. We are such people that before going back to Goloka and Vaikuntham, we will inquire what facilities are there first. Only after that is clear, and if it is there, we'll make sure it's there, only then we want to go. Otherwise, we have no interest. Because that is why these questions comes back all the time. What's Goloka like? What's arrangement? What's the food? What's the facilities like? So this is our consciousness. Our liberation state is not that. Before liberation happens, Prajahadi Yada Kaman has to happen first. With all these desires inside, do you think it's possible to get liberated? With all the material desires inside? That's why Krishna says, before we talk about Godhead and love of Godhead and all that, first get rid of this stage first. What is that? Prajahadi Yada Kaman. Sarvan Partha Manogadan. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. It is after this stage that we are talking about after liberation. That is what Bhakti Krishna is discussing about in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is not discussing the Bhakti what we are executing today. Our Bhakti is completely influenced by the material consciousness and thinking that, okay, if I take to Bhakti process, maybe I can live a good life in this world. That is another thing. That is not the bhakti Krishna is discussing in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying there, first come to this platform, Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. After realization, we can discuss what is bhakti. That is exactly in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Buddha Prasannatma. Na Shochati Na Kankshati. That is that stage. Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu. After that, equal vision towards all other living entities. Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param. Then the bhakti starts. That is the beginning of bhakti. Prior to that, all other bhakti, whatever we are showing in this world as bhakti, from Krishna's point of view, that bhakti is not the bhakti what Krishna is discussing in the Bhagavad Gita. So, in this chapter, as we go further, you will see there are many, many verses. Each and every verse is very, very potent. And they are telling us the nature of a self-realized soul, how he deals with this world in each and every situation. He won't tell us, Krishna is going to tell us that when you have to pay a bill, how a self-realized soul will act. That's not what Krishna is telling us. Krishna will say to us that a self-realized soul, how he pulls himself from the world and always being situated within the self. Inside knowledge, functioning properly. Outside deals with the world too, in the way properly, so that the world does not get in. He doesn't allow the world to get in. The world is outside, that you have to leave the world there. And you cannot allow the world to disturb your inside. If you allow that to happen, then you are an ordinary person. You are not a sthitaprajnan. That is the difference between a sthitaprajnan and a realized soul. When the outside world disturbs you, then your sthitaprajnatvam is gone. So Krishna says, and Krishna is telling us, how at each and every step, different yoga systems helps you to come to this platform of sthitaprajnatvam. So we'll stop there today and have some kirtan for half an hour. Yeah?
Thank you very much.
We'll start the classes on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. We'll start the classes on Monday again.